What is going on, everybody? My name is Connor Lawler. Welcome back to another week of Hero or Zero here on the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking one comic book character as we do every single week. We talk their good points and their bad points, and we generally just give you a bit of a rundown of everything to do with that character. As always, I am joined by my best pal, Mr. Sean Meehan. Sean, how's it going?
I'm good, Connor. I'm waiting on a verification code to come through, and it's been 20 minutes and it hasn't.
That's never coming true. You're going to have to click on that resend again. And if it doesn't send again, has stolen your identity.
I've already clicked on it.
Or somebody else in the world has your identity.
So someone else can host the show. Is that what you're saying?
Can I just really quickly ask, are you doing ad hoc duties?
No. I'm fully focused on whatever the hell this show is about.
You're like signing up to online betting.
Yeah, I'm doing surveys for pennies.
So this is Hero Zero. Sean, now here is very interesting because you normally choose Marvel characters.
I do.
And I normally choose DC characters. So
you do.
Last week, you discussed a character that we all know and love and possibly the worst episode of Hero Zero ever. Yeah.
Not on delivery, but on content. Ezekiel Sims, you're referring to, Connor.
Ezekiel Sims, who, if you don't know, was the villain in the latest Sony movie, Madam Web, the greatest Spider-Man movie ever made.
Indeed. He was in Spider-Man comics for about 3 years and has never been spoken of again.
Never. And you know the 3 years he was there? Terrible. But awful. If you want to hear more, go back and listen to that episode and you will hear, I think, I slowly start going insane first, and then you very quickly give up and join me.
Yeah, because you rightly are like, this is ridiculous that they've done this, and I can't defend it any longer.
I think you tried for about 3 minutes, and then you're like, fuck it.
Once you start getting into, he stole spider powers, it's like, fuck this.
Low bar this week, I wanted to try and get above that. Yeah. If this is your first episode, there's no need to do anything. Don't worry about it. If this is your second or more, we would really appreciate 5 stars on Spotify, 5 stars on iTunes, just a rating, a like, a follow, whatever podcast platform that you're listening to this on. It would really help us out. If you do like movie reviews, we did review Madam Web over on our Patreon.
Hell yeah, we did.
For that is down below. The patrons, every month, they basically recommend a movie for us to review, and they hate us.
They torture us.
Review all of the shit ones.
Yeah, there's a lot of good movies out there if anyone wants to talk about those.
They've made us review Madam Web, we've had Morbius,
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Wild Mountain Time. They're not even all comic book based.
No. They just choose the worst movie ever. Yeah. And they just give it to us. And you know what I mean? I respect the hustle and the hatering. The hater attitude, I gotta respect. But at the same time, guys, come on. We just want good ones. Please. We can't
a medium
do this again.
One, I'll take.
I'll take a medium one. Anything.
I'll take an Iron Man 2.
Yeah, it's fine, right? So if you want to get access to all those movie reviews, the Patreon link is down below. It's just Heroes for Hire podcast on Patreon. It's for the price of one cup of coffee a month, and you get access to all those movie reviews and everything over there. But Sean, what I decided to do for this week's Hero or Zero was we're going to do a classic Hero or Zero. What I mean by classic is one of the old classics that no longer exists.
They got deleted by the ether long, long, long ago.
Yeah. So what a lot of people don't know is that we basically got access. I say got access. We had a YouTube channel, right?
Turns out.
And we found it recently, about 2 weeks ago. Not much there. Don't worry about it.
Don't go looking for it either, honestly.
It's fine, right? There's nothing.
It's all unlisted at this point.
Please don't. But there's no content over there that's extra, really. But I found all of our very, very first episodes over there. The ones we did when we were just children. Yeah, just the ones when we were just figuring this stuff out. Some would say we're still figuring it out. I would say, now.
Every day is a school day, lads. You know, there's always something to know.
Sean can still improve, but me finished article. So
Connor peaked years ago. Let's be honest.
On the downward slope, I used to care, but because of that, I've basically got to see all of those old episodes from like 6 years ago that no longer exist on any podcast platforms, and I've been really interested, like going back over them, because there's characters there that people have asked us to do reviews on, and instead of us being like, we've already did it, because that's kind of a dickhead move, I'm like, cool, let's do it again. If it doesn't exist anymore on any platforms, then why not?
It's very free real estate.
It's very similar to like Disney Plus and Netflix just deleting movies.
Yeah, and then remake them again. Why not? So this is the live action version of Nightwing you're talking about.
So I am going to be doing a character known as Rex Tyler this week, Sean. Otherwise known as Our Man.
Oh, vague memories of this. Very, very vague. It was a few hours ago we talked about this, wasn't it?
Many an hour ago. 5 years ago, to be exact.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, a different type. Before the pandemic is when we did this.
Yeah, this is a pre-COVID report.
Pre-COVID report. I just do my life of before COVID at BC.
BC
and AC.
AC.
So Our Man, created by Ken Fitch and Bernard Bailey. First appearance was in Adventure Comics number 48 in March of 1940. So has been around golden age, just the prime time. And you'll
it's going to get weird.
Well, not only is it Golden Age, Sean, it's JSA Golden Age.
The Justice Society of Atlantis.
Of Atlantis, or maybe America, one of them. But this was the original, I mean, there's no other really way I look at it. It's the original Justice League. So the JSA came first. They're like the amalgamation of all the heroes. And then the Justice League came in around the 60s, 50s in comic books. And they took over. But the JSA, very, very famous when Hitler was around. And like Captain America was big. And
when Hitler was around.
You know, Hitler. You know, I had a point. Shut up, right?
An insane sentence.
It sounds insane, right? But listen to me. Captain America's punching Hitler.
Yeah.
The JSA and DC comic books are also punching Hitler. That's the point I was trying to make before you, I would say rudely. Right. Rudely tried to imply I'm a psychopath.
You are, first of all. And second of all, it implies that in every possible reality, there is a Hitler.
That is true. And he's always getting punched.
He's always getting punched.
I respect that. Rex Tyler was born in 1913 and he spent at least part of his youth in New York. Unlike a lot of his JSA peers from later on in his life, he grew up in rather humble environments. Working his way through college, he landed a job researching vitamins and hormone supplements at Bannerman Chemical. Now,
Jesus,
Tyler was
in 1913. That's a rough gig.
Well, no, he's not. He was born in 1913.
Oh yeah, but
so
you know what I mean.
1933.
Okay, early 1900s medical technology. Let's go.
Tyler was a humble man, considered meek and timid by his colleagues, and he was nicknamed TikTok for his obsessive punctuality and being on time.
What a weird thing to take the piss out of the man for.
He turns up to work on time. Oh, what a fucking dork.
Not even early, just on time.
If the shift starts at 9, he arrives at 9. Way, you fucking dick.
Here he is again. Yeah, that's. I work here.
Legally, I have to arrive at 9. That's how it works. A series of discoveries and accidents led him to the miraculous vitamin. So he's doing a lot of research. He's finding vitamins in the 30s, and he finds
just cocaine.
I think a lot of cocaine. I think he's on through a lot of drugs and just accidents. He comes across a miraculous vitamin, otherwise known as Miraclo. Now, in other versions, he was trying to work on an antidote to nerve gas. And he was developing an antidote to nerve gas, which I kind of prefer as an origin. And then he just so happened to just come up with this miraculous.
Mix them all in this ratio. And then this is what came out.
He found that concentrated doses of the vitamin gave him a strength and vigor to gave a strength and vigor to laboratory mice, several times that of normal. Taking a dose, Rex found that his strength, because of course, Sean, he had to try it on humans, because he's testing on animals. He can only test it on one human trial, one subject that he can trust. Himself.
It's a classic move. He's up against it. He must know.
And the boss man's coming in and he's like, we've only got another day before they pull fund and you gotta
just
get
make
the
it work.
Just make it work. So when he took a dose, he found that his strength, his vitality and his speed increased to superhuman levels. So basically he became kind of like Superman.
Class.
If he took the pills.
Yeah.
However, the human body could only process the Miraclo for 1 hour at a time. After which, the subject is left weakened and returns to normal human strength levels, but probably a bit more tired.
It's genuinely cocaine.
I think this was just all... it's all subliminal for cocaine.
He gets a boost of energy for about an hour and then crashes real hard.
So if you wanted to put another phrase on it, a bump.
He takes a bump.
And he has a bit of a buzz.
Yeah,
for
keeps
old.
Him going.
Yeah, the party seems pretty good for about 60 minutes.
Yeah. Then after that, oh my God, it gets rough.
Then after that, the sadness starts to creep in and you really need another bump to keep it going, right?
And it's the 30s, so it's fine.
It's fine. So he basically decides that his Miraclo-induced ability should be used for good purposes. With great power comes great responsibility, and with great cocaine comes more superpowers. So he's ready to go.
More cocaine equals more superpowers. You've heard it here first.
That's
folks.
How you know. In 1930s, not now. They changed.
Not now. They changed the formula.
They changed the formula.
Now it's bad for you.
You can't prove that 1930s cocaine didn't give people superpowers.
Okay, I'm going to hit you with a situation. Someone discovers 1930s cocaine perfectly preserved. Are you giving it a try?
Oh, I suppose. Oh,
the tiniest bit. A crumb of cocaine.
You're the worst friend ever.
Be really cool if you did it.
You'd be my cool gang if you did, man. Come on, everyone's done it, man. Come on, bro.
Don't want superpowers.
When Tyler returned to his lab, he found evidence, however, so he went out. And he was like, feeling fucking, I've got superpowers. He had that big moment.
Yeah.
But when he returns to his lab, he finds evidence that the animals that Miraclo had been infected or had been put into, although they had super strength for that hour, it was also maddeningly addictive. It was incredibly addictive. It drove you insane after a while. So to his later regret, he ignored this evidence as a signal for future danger to himself, thinking, I'm strong enough to withstand that.
Classic scientific arrogance right there. Also weird that he just ignored a very clear symptom.
Don't worry about it. Sure, he was on so much drugs otherwise. Anyway,
yeah.
Tyler decided to use his discovery to become a force of good in the form of a mystery man called the Man of the Hour, or Hour Man. He started by taking out an ad in the local newspaper, soliciting requests from those who considered themselves beyond normal avenues of aid. So he took an ad out in the newspaper asking people, did they need a superhero?
Jeez, it was a different time, wasn't it? Do you need a superhero, but only for an hour?
You need to give me a time and date so I can snort this stuff before I arrive.
Yeah, I need to make it as well. It's a whole process. Also, just taking out an ad of being like, do you need help for an hour? That's wild.
Did people get the wrong idea?
Just getting to do really basic tasks, like clean out your gutters or something.
His first case was from the wife of a petty criminal named Johnny Kenton. And now Johnny had turned to crime due to a lack of work in the Depression-era America. And Mrs. Kenton basically decided that she needed our man's help in changing her husband's mind before he got arrested. Kenton had also fallen in with a gang and they had tried like an attempted robbery.
It's all that 1930s coke.
During the robbery, our man appeared and foiled the attempt, and then he tossed Kenton around a little bit to convince him to take the straight and narrow.
Tossed him around?
I think... I think it's either phrasing of just he beat the shit out of Kenton until Kenton was probably in tears thinking, yes, please God, I will stop doing crimes.
Yeah, or like he roughed him up a little bit, like, you know.
Yeah, probably
like
an easier way of saying it, yeah.
Not enough to put him in hospital, but enough to scare him.
No, enough to break his legs and his arms, but not enough to kill him. He Batmaned him.
He Batmaned him, of course. Yeah.
He did the old Dark Knight technique, paralyze but don't kill.
Drop him off a semi-high building.
Our man released Kenton, who returned to his life of law and order, and all was saved. Our man's first great success.
He's a hero. He just beat up a man.
He just beat up a normal man. I can't stress enough, he's super strength.
Yeah, he could be like, that's like Superman kicking the shit out of you for a bit.
He can fly, he's got super strength, super speed, like he's fucking invincible for an hour, and he uses that hour just beating up a regular guy.
What if the hour wears off while he's flying?
Then he falls to his death.
What a way to go.
This case also caused him to cross paths with the Golden Age Sandman, who was pursuing a case of his own.
Wesley Dodds?
I think Wesley Dodds, but it might be the Golden Age Sandman, so it might not be Wesley.
Even earlier, you said.
So our man's reputation began to grow at this point, and he encountered a number of adversaries. Several doctors, weirdly, when I was doing research. It was all like, he had
doctors doing cocaine.
They're all doctors. There was Dr. Todd, or Tog. He was a criminal geneticist. Dr. Dark, a master of robotics. For some reason, he just pursued scientifically, like, bent scientists that are like smart people. And then I think it's kind of like Dr. Fate was pursuing mystical people, so he's pursuing smart people who turn to the dark side.
It's like, because he's a good scientist and he wants to stop all the
bad scientists.
He's
one of the good ones who's fucking high as a kite. The other ones, bad ones. They're on drugs, but bad ones.
I gotta test it on myself.
In 1940, our man was selected by Dr. Fate to aid in the defeat of the Valkyries, summoned by Adolf Hitler's use of the Spear of Destiny. That's a full story, but in reality it just means he was summoned to World War II to punch Adolf Hitler, which I think fantastic.
Great storyline, you love to see it come up. Had I said that in one of my reports... I would have gotten absolutely rinsed. I just want that on the record.
The Golden Age, though, right? Look, the Golden Age, everyone is on drugs, right? I cannot stress enough. This case led to the formation of the Justice Society of America, very famous, of which our man was a charter member. And he served in good standing for about a year on the team.
In good standing, you say?
In good standing. But the 2 years of regular Miraclo use was taking its toll, Sean.
The addictiveness of it, of course.
And he had to request a leave of absence. And he spent that time after he left. He spent like several months working on an improved application of Miraclo. He used like black light. He used black light to activate the Miraclo residue already present in his cells instead of having to take new Miraclo every single time.
Oh, okay. So it's like part of him now. And the light activates it?
I think they probably had complaints about the very obvious link.
Yes.
So I think they were like, oh, it was in him all along. It's in his cells. But in another way, it's like he's taken so many drugs. They're now part of him and he can kind of like make use of them.
Like those lads who let themselves get bit by snakes so often that they're now immune to snake poisons.
Yeah. Like, and he needs a black light to like get the residue going inside him. Now, within this, weirdly, while I was doing like my research, through circumstances that I couldn't really like find any information on, he hung up his cowl in 1943, right?
just had enough.
just randomly. And I read everywhere, and just in canon, he just hung up his cowl. I think they went to rewrite it back as it, like, he was very on the wagon, and he didn't want to go back into it.
If he wanted to keep being a superhero, he'd have to keep taken Miraclo or something.
Yeah, exactly. And over the next 20 years, Rex Tyler attained several objectives. He greatly improved the Miraclo formula, though it still had addictive side effects. He abandoned the use of the Miraclo ray, the blacklight ray, sometime in about the 1940s. He also worked on his career, advancing up the corporate ladder, basically to the top of Banner Maid Chemical. However, by 1962 is when he comes back in. He becomes active again. Along with some of his costumed comrades, he participated in the first contact between the JSA and the Justice League of America.
Oh, cool.
They did that storyline where they came together and they brought Our Man back into the fold in comic books. Because they were like, let's get the original crew back.
Yeah, and he was like a founding member.
Yeah. So, look, through the years, Our Man battled with his addiction to Miraclo, and by the 1970s, he was only semi-active, particularly after being severely injured by the icicle. Instead, he had devoted his time to Tyler Chemicals and the raising of his rebellious son. So he has a son at this point, he's like, I'm semi-retired, I come out with you, I'm a big bad. But otherwise, don't call me. I've got like a family and
I've got my own thing
kids.
Going on here. And it's like, you son of a bitch, I'm in.
Yeah, one last job. In one case, he donned the costume for a final battle with a recurrent adversary, Dr. Cobalt. Of course, always a doctor. Don't ask any questions.
He'll only fight a man with a PhD.
Very selective. He arrested Cobalt's henchmen, and his Cobalt's henchmen, by the way, are Jimmy McIntyre and Billy McIntyre. McIntyre boys. Our Man took an interest in Billy, appearing in secret to encourage the youth to choose the higher road. So he's like, you can be better. You can be more than me, an old man who's clearly still addicted to stuff.
Do you have any, by the way?
Do you have any drugs? These experiences shaped Billy's decision to become the hero known as Triumph when he reached adulthood. So he kind of was like an inspiration.
That's nice. So, I like when there's like golden age, not even passing the torch, but just inspiring characters. Yeah.
In the 1980s, this is many years later, but the problem with the JSA is that they don't really age. So there's like a weird thing where people in the JSA never really age that much. And Our Man in particular kind of age, like 40 years have passed in real life, but maybe like 15 years have passed in comic books.
It's that sliding timescale thing that they have.
Yeah, it's very strange. So he's still like 45 at this stage. So he's still like fit and active. He's not like, he should be like about 70, but he's not. So when, in the 1980s, when his son was grown up, Our Man began to make more frequent appearances again. And he was even active in the Crisis on Infinite Earths in the 80s when that story happened.
Really just kicking around, like.
His son Rick even designed a costume and became the new Our Man later on, carrying on the legacy.
Rick Tyler, good name.
Rick Tyler's a strong name, so he was the new Our Man later on. So we're doing Rex here because he's the original, but Rick is obviously the one that follows him. And when the JSA came back a few years later, Rick had given up the role of Our Man because he had apparently gotten some blood cancer. Now, it was never explained if it was due to the Miraclo use that he was doing, because in the 80s now they were like, drugs are bad, don't take them.
Big push in the 80s.
Heavy push. So they were now like, he's now gotten cancer from taking all the Miraclo. This is Rex's son.
Yeah, interesting. That's really dark, by the way.
Yeah, and Our Man then himself gave up on the Miraclo and attempted to find some solace in a drug addict's therapy group. So they like went fully in on it. So in the golden age, it's all fun and games.
Yeah.
And it, as it gets further, like, actually, you know what? This is like super obviously clearly a drug metaphor.
We should probably address this.
This is real bad, right? So one of Tyler's former colleagues in the All-Star Squadron, the super speedster Johnny Quick, a legendary Johnny Quick,
good lad,
had become involved in marketing the idea of releasing the metahuman potential in individuals with the affected gene. So X-Men at the time, very big comic book, very popular. DC are looking at that and they're like, we have a meta-human gene that we can get out of people.
And it arrives around puberty in times of stress.
It's weird. It's so weird.
It's always been there.
He convinced Hourman that instead of the drugs, his powers came from the metagene, and that the metagene could be activated without Miraclo.
Interesting. What about all those mice, though?
This is kind of how they got around it, because they got rid of the Miraclo out of his story, and instead he kind of has like a Shazam thing at this point, where when he shouts "Man of the Hour," he gets to have all of his strength, speed, and endurance without the drug. Now, the thing is, I think it goes for longer than an hour at this point, but I think I couldn't really nail it down the specific time, but I couldn't work out if it was all time or if it just, it's kind of like a Shazam thing where when he says "Man of the Hour," he gets superpowers. And right, then when he says another phrase, it goes away.
Interesting. Okay. So he's just... I know why they did it. It's kind of less interesting. Yeah. And it's less of a sacrifice that he has to make every time.
Yeah, now at this point, because they rewrote him, he came back into the JSA one more time for like one final run during the crisis.
One final job.
One final fight, and you can see where this is going. Because him and Dr. Midnight went to engage a villain called Extant in hand-to-hand combat. Extant aged them both up swiftly and dramatically.
Oh, that's rad.
To the correct chronological ages.
Fuck. So he just became, like, what, 80?
Yeah.
Like, in an instant.
He would have been even more at this stage, because, it doesn't really... Actually, no, he probably would have been 70-something, but I think it's actually said that he gets aged up to his chronological age, and then he keeps aging rapidly after that as well.
Oh, right? Shit.
Yeah. Hourman dies almost immediately from the strain. Because,
it's like the guy at the end of The Last Crusade who drinks from the wrong chalice. Just
exactly.
Skeletoned immediately.
And he's laid to rest amongst all the other slain members of the Justice Society after the Crisis on Infinite Earth storyline. So that's how he passes away in battle during the crisis.
It's kind of cool.
And his son takes over the mantle, and then after that, like, there's an android that becomes Hourman at one point as well. There's several Hourmen afterwards.
Yeah, but he was the first. It's cool that you see his, like, essentially, like, his birth and death across the comics. Basically in real time once he's sped up at the end.
Exactly. Rex Tyler, in terms of personality, he's like fairly normal before, and then he like enjoys the role of Hourman, except he turns the blind eye to the addictive effects. And in his later years, his focus is mostly on rebuilding his relationship with his son and battling the side effects of the drug.
See, that feels like a super modern story to tell.
Yeah.
Like, it's mad that that came out when it did.
Yeah, and because of Tyler's on-again-off-again battle with Miraclo and his efforts to obtain prominence as a chemist in his civilian life, Hourman never attained quite the legendary status that the other JSAers enjoyed, because he was always battling amongst himself to, stay on the straight and narrow. But if he was on the straight and narrow, then he isn't technically part of the JSA.
Yeah. So, and also, like, he wants to succeed as a civilian as well, where a lot of the other are, like, come from money or just are born with the powers and they are just heroes full time.
Yeah, like, if you're just born that you can, like, you've got laser eyes or you can fly or some shit, like, that's cool. But, like, he needs to take this to keep up with them. But every time he takes it, he falls further and further into the addictive stuff.
Have you watched The Boys, by any chance? It's like that thing in The Boys.
Very similar to that thing in The Boys. In terms of powers and abilities, he's got unique physiology. Sometimes Rec could reinforce residues of the Miraclo pill contained in his body and access its effects. So if he has residues of the pill in his body, he can still access that. Then at some point he was like reciting the mantra "Man of the Hour" as well, and like a Shazam thing. In terms of just like generally, I just always see him as he's a normal guy. Then he takes this, then he becomes superpowered for 60 minutes. So you got 60 minutes to solve the problem. In terms of abilities, he's got obviously chemistry and biology, aviation. And he's got all of the superhuman strength, superhuman durability, superhuman stamina, superhuman speed, and aquatic adaption. He could even breathe underwater while he takes it.
So he's just, he's supremely powerful for 60 minutes.
For 60 minutes, he's probably one of the most powerful comic book characters.
It's kind of a good way to add tension to a story as well, in that, like, you are on the clock as soon as you start.
Yeah, so if you can hold them off for 60 minutes, if you're the bad guy, and you, like, if he takes it, you just need to hold them out for an hour, and then you win. Unless he's probably going to take another one, but then, like, he'll just keep taking them over and over again until he wins, I suppose. But the more he takes, the more addicted he gets.
Yeah, and the more, like, if it does wear off, he has a worse hangover the next day.
I think he's such an interesting character because, as you said, like, it's such a modern way to look at it. Like, you could really tell that story now, that instead of being the pill being addictive, like, it's not addictive in terms of the powers. I think a much cooler way to look at it is he's in this team of superheroes and he's a normal guy and he becomes addicted to, like, fitting in with everybody else, and he becomes addicted to, like, wanting to help people, but it's like a battle with himself. Like, he wants to help people, but, like, the more he helps people, the more he destroys himself.
And the tragedy is that if he just focused on being an amazing chemist, he could probably find cures to help people
But he, like, everyone starts off at a 10 and he starts off at a 7 and he's like, I need to take this to get to the 10 to fit in with them.
But so, like, 7 is fine. 7's great.
7's grand. 7's grand. In terms of weaknesses, it just has the 60-minute time limit, and it burns itself out. And the waste toxins generated need to be eliminated in the bloodstream over about a 24-hour period. So you do only get 1 hour a day.
So, and then, then it has to, like, because otherwise those toxins will build up and kill you, presumably.
Yes.
That's wild. That's such a modern character from the Golden Age. It's just mad that came out.
A super cool character that never really gets talked about. And I think as a character, he appears in the Legends of Tomorrow show, and I think he appeared a little bit in Batman Brave and the Bold and stuff. But, like, in terms of people just knowing who he is, I don't think a lot of people do.
He doesn't have, like, that mainstream kind of celebrity.
Even when I think of the JSA, I don't think of him. Like, I do think of Johnny Quick, and I do think of several of other members, but, like, he doesn't really pop up if you think of, like, the original crew.
Yeah, he's just... I like that as well, though. He's just kind of always been there and never celebrated, even in our world. Like,
pretty cool. I hope you liked our man, Sean.
Very good report, Connor. Definitely better than when we did it 5 years ago.
100%.
Would you like me to take us out?
Yeah, why not?
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Hero or Zero. We will be back on Wednesday with Weird News Wednesday, and then next Friday with another episode of Hero or Zero. Big thank you to everyone over on Patreon who supports the show. We really couldn't do it without everyone over there, so thank you very, very much for your support. Patreon.com/Heroes for Hire podcast if you want to check us out there. There is also the merch store, heroesforhire.ie/shop. Twitter is @HeroesForHirePod, the 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Divilment's discussion group. Instagram is Heroes for Hire Podcast, and the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just a one, please.
And I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I've been Connor Lawton.
I've been Sean Meehan.
I shall see you all next week, guys.
Bye.